This is the Daf Yomi Masecht Review, Masecht Yevamos, Tape Number 1. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klolim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Rebbetzin Necha Fagel Bas Harav Yaakov Tuvia Halevi Rifkin, Zichrona Lebracha. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Moshe Goldberger, Maggid Shir at the Yeshiva of Staten Island, New York, and Mechaber of the Daf Yomi Review Sheets.
We're going to introduce Masechta Yevamos with the concept of Yibum, to understand the mitzvah of Yibum. Together with the mitzvah of Yibum, we have a mitzvah of Chalitza, which is an option, which we'll see how that works. And this begins in Parshas Ki Seitze, in the Chumash, in Devarim, chapter 25, verse 5. There are six psukim here on the procedures of this mitzvah. So we'll go through the psukim briefly to get the background. Ki yeshvu achim yachdov. The Torah says if two brothers lived together. Now the Gemara is going to talk about that in the first Mishnah in Yevamos, that the two brothers have to have been in the world at the same time. Ki yeshvu achim yachdov. It doesn't mean that they have to live in the same community or in the same area, but that they have to have been on the world at the same time. Because the Gemara, the Mishnah says there's a case of eshes achiv sheloi hoya bi'olamai, which we'll see in the Mishnah. So if the two brothers were together, umeisachad mehem, one brother passes away uvein ein loy, without any children. The Gemara says if a brother passes away without any children, so there's an obligation. Lo siya eishas hameis hachutza leishzor. The wife of the deceased is not permitted to marry a stranger. But yavama, yavo aleha, her husband's brother has to marry her. So that's the mitzvah of Yibum. The word Yavam is a husband's brother. Two brothers, one brother dies without children, so it's a mitzvah for the brother, the other brother, even though he's married already, he has already a wife, but nevertheless, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. In those days, they could have more than one wife before the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom. Now in Pasuk Vav it says, Vayaha b'choir asher teled, the firstborn son of this new marriage, Yokum al shem achiv ames, should take over, should perpetuate the name of the deceased, v'lo yimach eshmei b'Yisrael, so that we don't lose the dead man's name. So that's an interesting concept, that we want to perpetuate his name. It's like a memorial to the deceased. Then Pasuk Zayin, v'lo yachpay tzoyish lo kachas es yivimtoy, in case the man refuses to make Yibum, which means the live brother refuses to marry his dead brother's wife, v'alsa yivimta hashara. So she goes to the Bezdin, el azkenim, to the elders, v'omren, she says to them, me'ein yivami. He refuses, my yavam refuses. L'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael. He doesn't want to perpetuate his brother's name. L'yava yabmi. He doesn't want to make Yibum to marry me. So in Pasuk Ches, v'karulai zikne yirei v'dibreilav. So they call the man, they speak to him, and they try to see, maybe they can change his mind. But v'omad v'omar lo chafatzti l'kachto, if he keeps refusing, he stands up, he says, I refuse. So then comes the mitzvah of chalitza. Now from the Chumash it sounds like that the mitzvah of chalitza is only if the man refuses to make Yibum. V'nigsha yevimtoy elav le'ene hazakenim. So she goes in front of him, in front of the Bezdin, the Cholza Na'aloi Me'al Ragla. She pulls off his shoe, his right shoe, V'yarka B'fonov. She spits in front of him on the ground, V'yonsa V'omra, and she says, Kocho Ye'osa Lo'ish. This is what we do to a man, Asher Lo Yivnez Beis Achiv. He refuses to build his brother's house, V'nikrish Me'al Yisrael Beis Chalutz Hanal. And then he is called the house where the shoe was removed. So that's chalitza. Chalitza means to remove a shoe. Now we'll go into this more, But just, it's interesting to note, historically, that there are two cases mentioned in the Chumash, two cases of Yibum, by the story of Yehuda and Tamar, that Yehuda, this was before Matan Torah, because it wasn't actually a brother's, two brothers. Yehuda was the father of the dead son, and he made Yibum. He married Tamar. And similarly, we find, we just had recently in Megillas Rus on Shavuos, that Boaz married Rus, also an inyan of Yibum. And we see this concept in these places in the Chumash, and it's interesting because in the Chumash, Mashiach came from this, from these two unions. From Yehuda and Tamar they had Peretz, and from Boaz and Rus they had Oved. And eventually Mashiach, David HaMelech, was born from that, from these two Yibum relationships. So we see that a Yibum relationship is something very special. We'll talk about it, why exactly it's so unique. But basically we see that the concept is to perpetuate the name of the deceased. So it's a chesed, it's a kindliness to see to it that the dead person has a son who is to perpetuate his memory so that he can continue to achieve merits by means of his descendants. It's like as if he has offspring. Now from this we learn a lesson. Rav Miller says in his Sefer on Breishis, the beginning, he says, from this we learn the great importance for everyone to have their own righteous offspring who will carry on their work of serving Hashem in this world. So a person should try as best as possible to have children in this world. Now why is it, Rabbi Miller also explains, why is it that Mashiach has to come through such twice? We find these strange circumstances of Yibum by Yehuda and Tamar and by Boaz and Rus. It would seem that, you know, it should come from a normal, regular situation. Why was this special? And he explains, because when we study how Hashem manipulates history, we gain the awareness of the hand of Hashem. To learn, like it says in Tehillim, that Me'es Hashem hoysa zois, he niflos be'eineinu. We should be makir that it's from Hashem. It's obviously from Hashem. So Hashem sometimes makes things in the strangest of ways, so that it should be obvious to us that it's min hashamayim. And especially for Mashiach, you need a special hachona for Mashiach. Now we're going to go to the Mishnah in the beginning of Yevamos, Daf Beis. Starts out with Chamesh Esrei Noshim Poitrei Tzoresein. We'll see how it fits in with the Psukim, that there are 15 kinds of women that are exempt from Yibum. And not only are they exempt, but the tzara, the co-wife. Now again, in those days they had more than one wife. So if, let's say, the brother had three wives, let's say, and when he died, he had no children from any of his wives. So now, usually there's a mitzvah of Yibum, that the brother, the live brother, should marry at least one of the wives. But let's say one of the wives is an erva, she's forbidden to him. So if she's forbidden, so then they're all exempt. The co-wives, v'tzorais, tzorais, en menachalitzim, en ayivim, atzayfam, they're all exempt. And there are 15 cases of women that you cannot marry, that a person cannot marry. So this is the halacha of aroyos, which in the Chumash is in Parshas Achremois, the listing of aroyos that are forbidden to a person. Now, the Mishnah gives us a list of these 15. But there's an interesting Tosfos Yeshonim here who asks, why is it that Yevamos, this whole inyan of Yevamos, is in the beginning of Seder Noshim? It would seem to us that you start out with Kiddushin, the beginning of marriage. Start out with Kiddushin, Ksubis, Gittin, and then come to Yevamos at the end. So the Tosfos Yeshonim gives three answers. One answer, he says, is because there's a connection between Moed Koton and Yevamos. It's an inyan of Puronus, so Enochinami, it's something that's tragic. We pray that these mitzvahs should never happen, because in order for the mitzvah of Yibum to happen, there has to be a dead person. So we pray it shouldn't happen, but since it happens sometimes, so they're connected to Moed Koton. That's one explanation the Tosfos Yeshonim gives. A second explanation, he says, is because what we're going to see from here is which women you cannot marry. And this is a basic halacha. So before you get to Kiddushin, you have to know which women are muta, which women are asa. So there's a listing here. We'll see the listing soon. And the third reason he says is because in the Chumash we find the mitzvah of Tamar, he brings, the mitzvah of Yibum, in the beginning of the Chumash, close to the beginning of the Chumash. So therefore we want to bring Yibum first because of the Chashivus, the special occasion of Yehuda and Tamar. Now in the Mishnah here, the Mishnah brings the list of 15 arayos. And the first is, let's say, a bas, a daughter. So we're not going to go through all of them, but just the basics, that a daughter, if let's say a brother, your brother can marry your daughter, because it's a niece. A person's allowed to marry a niece. But the if there's a situation of yibum, and the daughter comes to him for yibum, he can't make yibum. So since he can't make yibum, so they're exempt from chalitza as well. Chalitza and yibum. So this is a daughter or a granddaughter, the Mishnah says, or his wife's daughter if she had other daughters. And here, Tosfos explains, Rashi and Tosfos explain that bitoy here in the Mishnah is not only referring to a regular daughter, but bitoy me anusasa, even a case of an anusa where someone had raped a woman and had a daughter, so even that daughter becomes forbidden to him. So the Mishnah has all the possibilities. So a daughter of a wife, chamoisa, a mother-in-law, if his mother-in-law afterwards married his brother, achoisim imay, a sister, or vachois ishtoy, his wife's sister, meaning two brothers married two wives, which is okay, which is permissible. But now if there's yibum, he can't marry a sister of his wife, he can't marry. And the Eishes Ochiv Me'imoi. And then there's a few more left. The Mishnah says, Ve'eshes Ochiv Shalihoya Bi'olomoi. Here, we have this case we mentioned before, that we learned from Kiyeshvu Achim Yachtov, brothers that were together. But Eishes Ochiv Shalihoya Bi'olomoi, if they weren't together in this world, like Rashi gives the case here, Ruvain died without children. And then after he died, his parents had another child. So he has a brother. So this brother can never be miyabem any of his wives, because even though there was another brother in between, as she says, but still we say, Eishes Ochiv Shalihoya Bi'olamoi. He wasn't together in his world. Here there's an interesting diuk. Rabbi Miller says, Bi'olamoi, you see that each person is considered that as if he owns the world. A person has his own world, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin, that a person chayv adam leimar b'shvili nivra ha'olam. Everybody has to say, the world was created for me, because Hashem made the whole world just for me, for every individual, as an individual person. Or like the Mesilas Yesharim says, that everybody has to know, ma'choy v'asoy b'olamoy. What is his obligation in his world? It's like everybody has his own world. So all the people that are alive at the time that he's in this world are considered related to him, to help him fulfill his tafkid, his purpose in this world. The last on the list is Kalosai, the Mishnah says.
Kalosai is a case where, as Rashi explains, his son had died, and now the brother married that daughter-in-law, so she remains also to him forever, even after the son had passed away. Now, the Mishnah continues by concluding that Harayelu Poitres Tzareseyin V'Tzares Tzareseyin. These 15, they all exempt their co-wives and a situation of a co-wife, which we'll explain soon. Min ha-chalitza u-min ha-yibum ad soif ha-olam. Why does the Mishnah repeat itself? We'll see in the Gemara. To summarize the 15, we'll see in the Gemara that there are five categories of three. Five different categories of arayas, and together there are 15. We'll see in the Gemara. A point before we go on, is that when we're talking about brothers, the main connection to consider them brothers is min ha'av, that they have the same father. And the source for this, Rashi says on Amin Aleph, is we learn from Yaakov Avinu, who was the father of all the Shvatim, although they had different mothers. So we see that the ikar for the term achva in the Torah is from the same father. Now the Mishnah continues with the Sefer. The second part of the Mishnah is V'chulan, that by all 15, Imesu oy miyanu oy nizgarshu, if they died, or they were mima'en. Miyun is a term. The word miyun itself is from the word omen,
Ame means to accept, to agree. Mi'un is a reversal, not to agree, to refuse to agree. And this refers to a Yesoma Ketana, a girl who was an orphan when she was a minor. Her father passed away, or her father is disassociated to her. So there's a case where her mother and her brothers can marry her off, but it's only Darabonan, and she can back out of it without a get. So she took that option, she took Miun, Oynis Garshu, or there was a divorce, Oysha Nimtsu Islandis, in a case where they were discovered to be islandis. Now the Gemara later says that Nimtsu means it was unexpected. So it's a Kiddush Tos. He wasn't aware of it. She's an islandis, she can't have children, so it nullifies the marriage, and therefore Tzareisa and Mutarais, the co-wives are mutter in these cases. Now, basically, the Mishnah is over at this point. The next part, we have two ketzads in the Mishnah. The two ketzads, the first ketzad goes back to explaining the reish of the Mishnah, and the second ketzad goes to explain the seifa of the Mishnah. The first ketzad is ketzad poitres tzareisein. How does an erva exempt a co-wife? If hoisa bitoy, if let's say his daughter was married to his brother, and there are other wives as well, and then the brother died, so just like Kishem Shebitoi is Petura, Kach Tzarasa is Petura. Now let's say the daughter went and married another brother who she's permitted to, it's not her father, so then, and he has another wife. So in this case, if the daughter went and married, or even if the co-wife of the daughter went and married another brother, so in both cases we say that this is a tzara of a tzara, and even if there's 100 brothers, of Elohein Mea. Now the next ketzad explains the seif of the Mishnah, imesu tzareisein mutares, that if the daughter had died first, or she was divorced, so once she's eliminated from the picture, before the brother died, and then the brother dies, so the regular yibum takes place. Now the Mishnah begins with a question. What is the reason for the sequence of the 15, the list of 15? And we mentioned before that the Tosfos Yeshanim, according to one pshat, says that this is the main purpose of the Mishnah, is to give us this list of 15. So the question is, what is the logic of the sequence? And the Gemara says that shouldn't Achos Isha, which we have as number 12, it should be number 1, because that's the source, as we'll see later on Gimel Amid Beis, we learn from Aleha. So the Gemara answers that maybe we're following the order of Chumrah. Those that have a more stricter penalty, if the death penalty is more Chamur, like according to Reb Shimon, that Sreifa is Chamura, so maybe that's why it's first. The Gemara rejects that. The Gemara tries a teretz that maybe because Bitoy comes from a Drash, comes from a Drasha, so maybe it's Chavivale. Like Rashi explains later on the Flamed Beis, that Chavivale, because it's a Chiddush, a Chiddush is more Chaviv. Maybe that's the reason, but the Gemara rejects that, and we go to Dav Gimel Amid Aleph. Eventually, the Gemara comes to a conclusion. The Maskana is that Kurvei Kurvei Nokat. The Mishnah follows the pattern of mentioning that which is closer. Rashi says, Hanech de Koriv Le Tefei Nokit Bereja. That which is closer is mentioned first, and there are five categories, the Mishnah explains. There's his three close personal relatives, his daughter, granddaughters, then it's his wife's three, then it's her mother, three up, then we go to Achois, to the category of sisters and brothers, then at the end, when we come to the last category, now there's a slight problem, because it's sort of miscellaneous, the last group. So Kalose should be first, because since we're not dealing with Kurva anymore, Rashi says a Kloimar over here, that since we're not dealing with Kurva anymore, so now we should resort back to the concept of Chumra, and Kalose is Chamira. But Rashi says, Aidi, once we spoke about Isr Achva, so we wanted to mention Eshes Achiv Shloihoye Be'ilomoy, because of Aidi, and therefore Kalose ends up to be number 15. The Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah we had said, Poitrois. The question is, what is the word Poitrois used in the Mishnah? Shouldn't the Mishnah say Oisrois? Because when there's no Yibum, it's an Iser to make Yibum. The Chiyuv of Eishes Ach asserts itself. So the Gemara explains that when you can't make Yibum, what about Chalitza? So maybe you'll say, oh, maybe you can make Chalitza, because what's the big deal? There's no Avera in pulling off a shoe. But the answer is, there's a problem that if people see Chalitza, they'll think you can make Yibum also. So we won't allow Chalitza either. But still, the Gemara says that the Mishnah, for technical reasons, the Mishnah uses Poitras, which we won't go into now. Then the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah bother mentioning Chalitza? Min ha-Chalitza, min ha-Yibum. And Chalitza is put first. So it would seem that Chalitza is a priority, and this shows us Abba Shaul. The Mishnah is following Abba Shaul's view. And this, the Tshuvas HaRosh says, is the source of the poiskim that we paskin like Abba Shaul, even though it's against the Chachamim, because Abba Shaul, the Stam Mishnah follows Abba Shaul. Now what is Abba Shaul's Shita? The Gemara says that Mitzvah Chalitza Koidemes LeMitzvah Yibum, that we should always do Chalitza first. That is the priority. The reason for it, Rashi brings, is because if someone marries his Yavama and it's not completely Lishma, he's doing it because he happens to like her. Lishum Noi, Lishum Ishus, he wants to get married anyhow. It's as if he's Pegeya Bi'erva, and it's close. Karev Ben Elias Havlad Mamzer. Now, we see from Abba Shaul how delicate is the mitzvah of Yibum. That the mitzvah of Yibum is always a situation of doiche. We're being doiche, like we'll see later in the sugyas of Eser doiche lo sasei. That the mitzvah of Yibum comes and pushes through, it overrides the lo sasei of chorus of Eshes Ach. And that's not so simple to do that. To do that, a person has to have the lishma. It's like if someone is has to be mechalel Shabbos to save a life, pikoach nefesh is doiche Shabbos, but if he's thinking, ah, what a great opportunity, I was always looking to be Michal Shabbos. Chalila, that's a terrible thing. He has to be doing it because he has no choice. He ain't brave. He's stuck. It's a mitzvah to save a life. But here, if he's doing it with the wrong kavana, so technically he's doing the mitzvah, but the problem is that it's like as if he's transgressing a chiyuv chorus. So therefore, Abba Shaul says, stay away from it. Chalitza. Since there's an option, the Torah says you can make chalitza, so do chalitza. And this concept here, to go back to the beginning, this shows us why Mitzvah Yibum, the third teretz in the Tosfos Yoshanim in the beginning, that Mitzvah Yibum is very special. Why is Mitzvah Yibum so special? And we mentioned, why is it that Mashiach is born from Malchus Beis David, comes from this union, from a double union of Yibum, from Yud and Tamar and from Vayaz and Rus. But now we can understand, because every marriage, by a regular marriage, the child is from a union, of course, a mitzvah union, but the person is thinking in the back of his mind that he's getting something out of it. He's having a perpetuation of his name. So in a sense, it's a little shelo lishma. Now, we're not minimizing the mitzvah of piriyah virivya. The Gemara says, lo nivra ha'olam ela bishvil piriyah virivya. It's the greatest of mitzvahs. But when it's through the mitzvah of Yibum, there's in a sense, there's even more lishma. When it's possible for the Yibum to be done properly, in the olden days, by Boaz and Rus, it was completely lishma, because it wasn't for him the Zera. And even when they approached Pliny Almaini and they offered him the mitzvah, because he was a closer relative, he turned it down. And similarly, by Yehuda and Tamar, those before Yehuda, they turned it down because they weren't going to have the children, al-shem al-shemam. So that is a stickle ulterior motive. But by Yibum, it's completely lishma. Now, we're not capable of having this lishma, so Abba Shaul says, mitzvah chalitza kaidemes. We go on now, minyana dereisha lemutei mai, minyana deseifa lemutei mai. Why does the Mishnah itemize 15, and then the Mishnah concludes, elu, that these are they? So the answer is because there are exclusions. We're not following Rav's opinion and not Ravasi's opinion. The Gemara gives that there are four more exclusions here. Tzoras sota, if a woman is exempt because she was mezana, a sota, which we'll have more on Daf Yud Aleph, an islandess if she can't have children, mamenes, and marzir girushosai. We go now to minohani mili. What is the source of the exemptions in the Mishnah? Now, there's a pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. Isha el achoysa loisikach litzroer, legalois ervosa oleha bichayeha. When the Torah says that a person is not allowed to marry a woman and her sister, the Torah uses the word litzrar as a co-wife, as a rival wife, and then it says oleha, on her. Now this Oleha is the same like the word Yavoma Yavoy Oleha in Parshas Kiseitze by the mitzvah of Yibum. So we have a Gzera Shava Oleha Oleha, that even where the mitzvah of Yibum would be applicable, but if it's also, besides being a brother's wife, it's also a wife's sister, so we say there's no mitzvah of Yibum. This Oleha teaches us to override the mitzvah of Yibum, and all the other arayos we learn from Achos Isha, and this is why the Gemara before had asked that why isn't Achos Isha number 1? Why is Achos Isha number 12? And we gave answers that we follow the system of Kurvei Kurvei Nokat. Now we go to the bottom of the Gemara on Dav Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that we see from here that since Aleha is necessary, so we see that without Aleha there would be a mitzvah of Yibum. Why? Because it would be Eseh Doichel Loisaseh. So the Gemara says we have two questions. How do we know that an Eseh can push aside a Loisaseh, even in a case where the Loisaseh is one of such weighty, it has a Chiyuv Karis to it? And then the Gemara says, how do we know Bechlal in general that Eseh Doichel Loisaseh? And this brings us to Dav Dalet Amid Aleph. The Gemara says we learn from Shatnas and Tzitzis that there's a mitzvah to wear Tzitzis, one's garments, and even if there's a question of wool and linen together, which is Shatnas, but if he's doing it for the mitzvah of Tzitzis, it would override. That's what, provided that you have Tcheles, which we don't have nowadays. But when they had the genuine Tcheles. Now, the Rebbe Kivega later on brings down the famous Ramban in Chumash in Parshas Yisroi on Zohar Yom Shabbos Lekatrit, who explains the concept of Eseh Doichel Loisaseh. Why should a positive command override a negative? And he says because the mitzvahs asays are the inyan, the concept of Avas Hashem. It shows that we're doing something out of our love for Hashem, whereas a Loisaseh is Yiras Hashem, and the mitzvah of Avas Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. That's what the Ramban explains. We continue on Dav Dalet Amid Aleph.
The Gemara teaches the source for Aseh Doichel Loisaseh. We learn from Kelayim B'Tzitzis. The Torah says Loisil B'Shatnez. Ordinarily it's forbidden to wear Shatnez, but for the mitzvah of Tzitzis, when you have the real Tcheles, a person is allowed to have Shatnez in the Tzitzis. Now Rabbi Elozer says, Smuchim in Atayra Minayin. We learn Smuchim, because the Torah puts one next to the other, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Smuchim la'ad le'olam asuyim v'emes v'yosher. And the Gemara gives an example of this, that a Yavama, shenofu lifnei mukeshchin, ein chos minoysa. If the sister-in-law is opposed to the Yibum, because she's unwilling to accept this brother-in-law, because let's say he's a mukeshchin, so we don't force her, because we learn from the case of Loisach Soim Shar B'dishai, not to muzzle an ox, which the Torah connects Samuch. It's right next to the parsha of Kiyeshvu Achim Yachtov. So we learn Smuchim, that Ein Koifinoi. So we don't force her, but rather, Rashi says, we force him to give Chalitza. Now, on the Aflamet Tesamid basis, a machloik is Rashi and Toisvus. Rashi over there says that it's not only if she claims if he's a mukashchin and she's opposed, but even if she has any amasl, any excuse which she claims she doesn't want to marry him, she doesn't want the yibum, she has the right, according to Rashi. Toisvus over there, however, objects to Rashi's shita, and Toisvus says only if it's a mukashchin, or as the Rambam over here says, that a mukashchin or any similar mum, which is a justifiable excuse. And the Rambam explains that if it's just stam, she's opposed to it for no justified reason, so then she's considered a moredes, and she loses her ksuba money. So that's the difference, machloikis, between Rashi and Tosfos and the Rambam. Now here the Gemara continues to say that even l'man d'loy darsh smuchim bi'alma, in the rest of the Torah it's a machloikis whether we darshan smuchim or not, but b'mishnah Torah in Devarim, Dorish, everyone agrees to darshaning smuchim. Now here there's an interesting Maritz Chius who explains the machloikis, whether we darshan smuchim or not, in the rest of the Torah, because in Mesech Gittin there's a machloikis whether the Torah was given Megillah, Megillah, Nitna, whether each parasha was given as it happened, or it was at the end of the era, it was all given together. So he says that if it was all given together, so then it makes sense that we darshan smuchim, because the Torah was put in an associated way, in a connected way, it was linked together. But if it was given in segments, so then it makes sense to say that you don't darshan smuchim. Now here, but in Mishnah Torah, the Gemara says everybody agrees that we darshan smuchim. The Gemara gives the sources. Rabbi Yehuda, example from Rabbi Yehuda. And then at the bottom, the Gemara goes to show that in Mishnah Torah, we darshan smuchim either because he bayisei memshum de muchach, because it's obvious that the Torah puts it here in a specific position. It was repeated in Mishnah Torah. Or because it's mufna, the pasuk is extra. Now, Tosfos, the Ramaschal V'chi at the end, Tosfos says that not only in Mishnah Torah, hu hadin bi'alma, even though the Gemara says Mishnah Torah, but the Gemara means only that in Mishnah Torah, the chances are greater that it's going to be muchach and mufna. But let's say it's in Shmois, but it happens to be muchach or mufna, it's also considered widarshan smuchim. But the Hagoyz Rav Betzal Renesberg, on the left side on the bottom, brings from the Ravon